John 2 and 4, Jesus saith unto her, this is at the miracle of turning the water and the wine, he says to his mother, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now here's my point. Mine hour, say that with me, mine hour is not yet come. Then we go to John 12, 27. That was the beginning of Christ's ministry. Now let's go to the end of his ministry. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father. Okay, he spoke to his mother and said, mine hour has not yet come. Now he speaks to his father and says, save me from this hour. Told his mother, turning water to wine is great, but mine hour is not yet come. Now he's in this hour and he says, Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. He talked to himself. Then in Luke 22 and 53, when I was daily, they're coming to get him. Judas, Iscariot, and the mob are coming to get him. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour. Say your hour. This is your hour and the power of darkness. Then in Matthew 26, 55, in that same hour, say same hour. That same hour said Jesus to the multitude. It's just a re-recording of the same thing that Luke said. Are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me. So we have looked at mine hour. We've looked at this hour. We've looked at your hour. We've looked at the same hour. And everybody say, this is our hour. This is our hour. Let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, I come before you. I ask you to open up the windows of heaven. If we will but humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, and repent, you said you would hear from heaven. Open up the windows and pour out a blessing, Lord, that we cannot contain. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This is our hour. And I want to say, for the most part in the Bible, the hour that it speaks of is not a 60-minute time frame. It is a time frame, but it's usually a season of time in which it was referred to as an hour, although sometimes perhaps it did refer to a clock. But for the most part, it was the hour. This is the hour we live in, right? You ever said this? You look around at the news and what's going on. This is the hour that we live in. And so, but the hour is usually referenced by some critical moment, right? He's in the waning hours of his life. And hours is generally talking about this critical time. And so early in Jesus' ministry, we find that he is slowly going to go into, because he's 30 years old, and he's now stepping into the high priest, right? Because a high priest could not become a high priest until he was 30 years old. That's why Jesus started his ministry at 30, if in case you're wondering. At 30 years old, you could become a high priest. So he fulfilled all the law and waited. He could have been high priest at 12. But he waited until he was 30 that he might fulfill the law that you couldn't be a high priest until you were 30. Then when he was 30, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he proclaimed his priesthood at 30. So he goes to this this feast that he was invited to, his mother and his disciples and so forth. He's got followers going with him. His mother truly knows more about him than anybody else, you know, because when the wine ran out, she looked at him and said, they have no more wine. Like, do some of that stuff you did at home. She knew. And maybe she was out of meal a few times or out of oil a few times. And suddenly, you know, she knew what she had in him. He said, woman, mother, mine hour has not come. It's not time for me to display what you're asking me to do. So let's just do it privately and so that we'll fulfill the need of the people. And so his mother says to the disciples, whatsoever he asks, just do it. I know that I'm telling you this morning, if you just do it. If you would just do what he says, that's called being obedient. It's better than what? sacrifice. You can sacrifice your body to be burned, but if you're not obedient to the word, you don't go to heaven. Right? That's what the book says. So he said, mine hour has not yet come. And perhaps he's talking about the hour in which he will proclaim himself and put himself on display. You know, Jesus didn't have business cards. He didn't have an email address. He didn't Facebook and all these other things, but he did miracles. And if you can do miracles, you don't need Facebook. You don't need telephone. You don't need, people will find you. So he had the greatest way of marketing that there ever was. Just do miracles. Do what no man can do, and it'll attract a crowd. So it was all in the plan of God that all the power of heaven and earth would be in the body of Jesus Christ. And so he begins to do the miracles that only someone sent of God, Nicodemus said, could do. And he draws this crowd, so much of a crowd that even the priests were losing membership. The temples were beginning only to be full when he was there. And even the Jews were so worried, they said, you know, it looks like the whole world has gone after him. Man, everybody's following Jesus. And so this was an hour in which he would be contested by his opposition, but not conquered, not in this hour. But he was contested. Every time he turned around, they were challenging him. By what power did you do this? How is any man free? You made yourself equal to God. They never gave him any credit for anything. And so this was the hour of him building credibility and stability and even sustainability, because he was trying to convince those as he walked on earth that he was both the Son of Man and the Son of God. That was the revelation that he got from Peter coming out of Caesarea Philippi that day. Who do they say the Son of Man is? And Peter said, the Son of God. They're the same. And so that's why Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. He realized that God was in him. He was both God and man in the flesh of Jesus. But now he will enter into a different hour. He's going to go from the hour of display in one way to another hour of display in another way, being hung on the cross and put as a display in a very humiliating way. And so this becomes his hour of temptation. Not the hour. You know what the hour of temptation is? Somebody said, well, I'm tempted to do that. I'm tempted to eat chocolate pie. I love chocolate. How many of y'all love chocolate? I'm telling you this. Don't buy me any chocolate. No, because if you know those big old bars, sometimes my wife would buy me that. I'll put it in that drawer. It talks to me and talks to me. Till I eat. I might as well eat the whole thing till it's gone. And it won't talk to me anymore. The hour of temptation is really not the hour to sin. It's the hour to quit. It's the hour to quit doing what you were doing and give in. There's 3 hours here that I want to talk about. There is the critical hour. Early in Jesus' ministry, it was critical that he show himself to be the Son of Man and the Son of God, having the power of God in the flesh of Jesus Christ. It was a critical hour for him to establish his glory, God's glory, on earth. And then we go into a crucial hour in which he is now in the garden, and it's crucial that he makes the right decision. Then we go to the crucifix hour, right? We go to where he actually dies in flesh. So for almost 3.5 years, Jesus walked upon this earth and was only challenged basically by words, and even when they go to get him, he could escape. I mean, there are several times that they sent Romans to get him, and they come back and said, why didn't you get him? He said, man, no man spake like this man. I don't know where he went. He just disappeared. But now the disappearing act is over. Now the miracles are over. And then we're going to transition from 1 hour into another hour. And he's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane for the hour of prayer. After what happened in earth, the glory of God was seen in the Son of Man. But now we'll enter into the heavenly hour where the glory of God is seen in the Son of God. Will the man prevail or the God prevail? Who will prevail? Same thing with you. Who's going to prevail? You've got God. You're born again. You have his spirit. Who will prevail? The man's side or the God's side? One has to prevail. over the other one. And so this is an hour of transitioning, if you will, from one hour to another hour. And he takes with him his three most trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John, when he goes into his hour of temptation, into his hour of trial. And he climbs a mountain and he says, "You stop here, I'm going further." And the Bible said he went about a stone's throw further so that he could pray by himself, amen, and get away from them. But I want you to pray with me. Pray for me. Pray. He wasn't asking him to pray about his decision. He's asking to pray with him about his decision. Many times we don't pray with people. We need to pray with people. Amen. And so he's wanting them to help support him in his effort to be ready to die. He'd already told him he would. I don't think they believed it, but he told them that he would and he would rise again, and they didn't understand it. But Jesus has to make, yes, Jesus has to make a decision. It's hard to believe that Jesus would have to make a decision. But even Jesus, because he was Son of Man and he was Son of God, and now he has to make a decision. So he goes a little further. You know, normally, if you really want to make a good decision, go be by yourself. Don't, you know, people are masters at asking other people to help them make a decision. But those people you ask, 99% of the time will tell you what you want to hear and not what you need to hear. So he goes where he can only hear from God. And he goes a little further to pray. And so now he returns to them after a time of prayer to commiserate with them and to talk to them. And he finds them sleeping in his hour of desperation. You know, it's really hard to find your support at 3 a.m. in the morning. It's really hard. You're up all 3 o'clock in the morning. You finally say, "I've just got to call someone." And you call somebody. Of course, they're dead asleep. And you call them and say, "Hey, Brother Baggett, I just need you to pray with me." "Okay, I will. I will." How is it that when I need you to pray with me, you can't stay up 1 hour? But when you have trouble, you stay up every hour. How is that? How is that that you want other people to stay up, but you don't? Then when the roles are reversed, As far as we can tell, there's only one disciple awake at this hour. Who was it, everybody? What disciple was awake? It ain't loud, really. Give me a name. Who? Judas. Judas was the only disciple that we know of awake, because evil never sleeps. So Jesus was busy while the others were sleeping in betraying the Lord. And they go back to sleep. And Jesus goes back to them, not once, not twice, but three times. And the Bible says each time he returned his little post where he would pray. And guess what he prayed? The same thing. It said he prayed the same, and you thought you were bad. Lord, I've already asked you this, but he prayed the same prayer three times. And what did he say? Was he praying for me and for you? No. He's praying for heaven. Help me, Lord. In John 12 and 27, "Now is my soul troubled, what shall I say?" Now, I want you to notice this. He didn't say, "What shall I ask?" Because he could ask anything and it would be done. But what shall I say? "Father, save me from this hour." Should that be my request? Because if I say it, it's going to happen. Do you understand? He's God. If I say it, it's going to happen. "What shall I say? Shall I say, 'Father, save me from this hour'?" Oh, wait a minute. "But for this cause came I into this hour." So I'm not going to say that. Matthew 26:39 says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." If it be possible, it's not a question, statement. Because all he's got to do is say it and it's possible. He knew it was possible. Because all things are possible with him. That's what the book says. But before he would go any further with this, he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, the Son of Man, but thou wilt," the God side. Not my flesh cannot make my decision for me. My spirit must make my decision for me. And so he responded. He was talking, praying as the Son of Man, but he responded to himself as the Son of God, knowing that I came into this world for this. You ever talk to yourself? I do all the time. It was time, it was the hour in which the flesh and the spirit must come together to fulfill the purpose of his calling. Jesus was saying, if there is a way that your will and my will can both be done, let's do that. Could we do it another way and still accomplish the same thing? And when there was no answer from heaven, he said, nevertheless. Now, can I break it down for you? Nevertheless. If you're going to live for God, those three words need to be in your vocabulary. Nevertheless. Never less than your will. Anything less than your will is not your will. But I don't like trouble. I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. Nevertheless. We seek to have less. But when you have less, you don't get God's will. Paul said, unless I suffer with him, I shall not rise with him. Don't accept less than the will of God. So he was seeking deliverance by going around it. Can you blame him? I'm not belittling him, because this is the flesh. I am so glad they wrote that in the book, that he was looking for a way around it, because you and I do too, and sometimes I feel guilty. Well, Lord, I just ought to bow up to this thing. Well, I'm going to go around it if I can. And you will too. Don't act so holy that you don't try to get around things. But deliverance can only come in two ways. Here they are. Number one, you can be delivered from. Delivered from. Number two, delivered through. You can be delivered from, you can be delivered through. When his disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he, in his prayer, both ways was there. He said, lead us not into, I'm delivered from it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Don't lead me into it, but deliver me from it. Amen. And I don't like to be tempted. That's why if you don't buy me the chocolate candy bar, I will not be tempted. But if you buy it for me and I put it in that drawer, I'm tempted all day long. So I want to get around it. That's why people that were alcoholics should never have a fifth of whiskey in their pantry. People that used to be addicted to smoking should never keep a pack of cigarettes in a glove compartment. Shouldn't do it. So you know your weakness. You know what you need to do. I said this once before, and I'll say it again, that one time I was getting ready to leave my office, and I had my four-wheeler and some ramps, and I got a closed gate, iron gate behind my office because of I've had problems. And so when I got ready to leave, I leaned those ramps against that iron gate. Okay? But they're on the inside. So you could see them, but you couldn't get them. And I got ready to drive off. I looked back and I saw that and I said, nope, I don't want to tempt anybody to steal them. So I backed up, opened the iron gate, and moved them over so no one would see them. They're still there, but they won't be tempted to get them. Why do we tempt ourselves and not remove things that tempt us? Why don't you put it out of your sight and out of your way and out of your reach? Then you won't be tempted. Jesus is facing the temptation to find another way. Quit this way and find another way. Everybody is tempted, right? Everyone is tempted of their own lust, so forth. You know the story. But we're all tempted to quit at times. Every one of us has been tempted. Oh, I'm not talking about quit living for God, but quit this, quit that, and just, Lord, I was one time, I was like, the ministry, I was so fed up with what I was seeing and hearing and going through. I'm like, they can have this. Lord, this is nothing more than the mafia in church. And I realized I can't quit because of them. You need me. I need me. My wife needs me. My children need me. And the world needs me. Somebody's got to be the light, whether you agree or don't agree with other people. And hopefully I am that light. But Jesus was being tempted in these very early stages of his ministry. He always tries to get you early, Satan does. Very early in his ministry, the Bible says he was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. And he was tempted, as we know, three times after he had been fasted for 40 days. It was an hour of temptation to quit in the beginning. In the very beginning. And we lose so many people in Pentecost. You know what? We lose them mostly in the beginning. As soon as they get started, then comes the evil one and sows the bad seed, right? When the blade is sprung up, they're confused. What's wheat and what's tare, what's right, what's wrong. And they don't last. And that's with any denomination. Living for God is not for wimps. Let me tell you that. Now he's at the end, and there's a temptation to quit too, to find another way. So he's asking to be delivered from this hour. Now he's saying, nevertheless, I must be delivered through this hour. It's like God could have helped him. The Father could have reached down and, even on the cross, what did he say? Some of his last words, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? You see me hanging on this cross, bleeding and hurting. That was the Son of Man saying, why don't you help me? How many times have you said that? God, where are you now? How many times do I have to pray and not get an answer? That's that flesh side of you. The spirit side of you say, Lord, your will. Whatever your will is for me and my life, that's what we're going to do. But I don't leave on this sermon. You need to stay for the next sermon. Because I want to talk to you about God in your life like you've never seen before. And so it looks like the Father would have helped him out of this shell of trouble that he was in, this confinement that he was in. But the old timers will tell you that don't you ever help a little baby chicken out of that egg. Don't ever, you see them struggling, let them struggle. Because if they're going to survive, they got to peck their way out, claw their way out, break that thing out. And in doing so, they're getting ready for their next life. And so it is. I am guilty as guilty can be of helping people when they first are coming to God to help them get out of that shell of trouble. I can't tell you how many people I've helped that are not living for God today. And that's the part of me that wants to help people. But then the other part of me goes, what did I do that for? Not because I'm sad I helped them. They're not living for God. I should have let them peck their way out, claw their way out, and been broke like they were, and whatever the situation was, until they got strong enough to live this life and say, well, Lord, I'm depending on you to see me through. But sometimes you help them, and if you help that little chicken, you crack that egg open, come on, he's not ready. And so it looked like the Father would have helped him out of this shell of trouble. But he didn't. Because he was letting him get ready for the life that was to come. Amen. Nevertheless, say that with me, nevertheless. Never take less than what God has planned for you. Can I tell you that Jesus was already dead when Judas got there? He was already dead. How about you? How about you? Paul said it this way one time. There's a sermon I preached called "I Thought You Were Dead." You remember that? I thought you were dead. Paul said that when he thought he was dead, said, but then sin revived. So right when I thought this thing is over with, here I am tempted to do it again. So I thought you were dead. Can I tell you, Jesus was dead by the time Judas got there. He had already made that crucial decision. I'm going through this. No matter what happens, I'm going through it. And once you make crucial decisions, I got peace, peace. God, wonderful peace coming down. You can start having peace like you never had before, but you gotta make that decision. And in his hour of contemplation, he was troubled. But when he made his decision, he had peace. And here they come with swords and staves and lights and fire. And Luke 22 and 53 says, I was daily with you in the temple. You stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. It is amazing what power darkness can bring. You look at thieves. Darkness. You look at honky-tonks. Darkness. It wasn't long, my wife told me, before she got in the church, she looked back and said, everything was darkness. Everything in life was darkness. But she came to the light. Why look back at the darkness now? Look to the light. And so the power of darkness, and all you men that hunt know there's a transition from light to dark. And in the daytime, all the birds are we're singing and flying around. But Lord, come sunset, they're looking for a place to roost. And the coyote, they're waking up. And the power of darkness begins to wake them up. But this is what was confusing. Because Jesus said, this is my hour. And he looked at them and said, it's your hour. And that's why we read in Matthew 26 and 55 in that same hour. And that's why I'm preaching our hour. Is because our hour and their hour are the same hour. What good is your light unless there's darkness? This is our hour to shine. This is our hour to give our testimony. I love all the praise reports we have and all the things among us. Let's give it to the world. Let's let our light shine that men see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. The Bible says that a light that's put upon a candlestick cannot be hid. A city that's built upon a hill, it cannot be hid. So I got the light, brother, but he said, you put it a bushel over it and you hide the light. This thing cannot be hid, my brothers and sisters. You have got to let your light shine outside the church and into the darkness of the world. This is our hour. It is our time to show the world that living for God does work. The Bible says even Daniel spoke of it, that when the darkness will come, he said that them that know their God shall do great exploits. This is the hour for the church to be the church, the bride to be the bride, the saints to be the saints. This is the hour that we need to show the world that we have something. I appreciate all of you that again, let's continue to give praise where it builds faith within our church. But we all have the light. Let's tell the world this praise report. Oh, Lord. So the hour, your hour, and his hour was the same hour. Their hour and our hour is the same hour. They stretched forth their hands to get him, and he stretched forth his hands to let them. It's our hour. They smote him on one cheek, and it was his hour to turn the other. It's our hour. It's our hour. And as soon as these disciples saw that he had stretched forth his hands and they bound him, they fled. You read, it said, and they fled. They all fled. He ain't getting out this time. They got him this time. All them other times, by now he'd already be loose. But not this time. They're going to want us next. I don't know him. You know him? Who? I don't know him. Who? What? That guy? I've never met him before. They were already rehearsing. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing. Well, don't blame them. You've done the same thing. You've done the same thing. When you knew you should have said something and you didn't, same thing. You was in line and listened to somebody talk. You, come on. And you could have pitched in, but you didn't. Lord help me. I have to be careful. Anytime I try my best, I'll be in line at Wendy's or wherever. And if I hear I'm pitching in, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. I'll tell sometimes the Lord can hear you. The Lord can hear you that. It is time for us to show the light in an hour of darkness. We are made overcomers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. And John wrote it this way as I close, John 1 and 4. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. When I got him, he lit my world up. When I got him, I want people to say, there's something different about you. Because a light that cannot be hid. And when you're around darkness, the light shines that much brighter. This is our hour, my brothers and sisters. To shine like never before. There's more darkness, but where evil is abounds, grace and God's love doth much more abound. Hallelujah. This is our hour. The light shineth where? Among the light. No, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. My. What manner of man, even his own disciples didn't know. What manner of man is this that the wind and the seas obey him? My Lord. This was Jesus' hour to shine, and this is your hour to shine. I ask you kindly this morning to put in your mind a thought, a continual thought. You know how you pray without ceasing? That's not like I'm on my knees, but there's constantly this prayer. I ask you to constantly have in your mind, how can I let my light shine? Is there an opportunity here? We don't go up to people, and you shouldn't go up to people and say, you know, you need to get your life right. You don't get your life right. You head straight for hell. Let me tell you what you need to do. That's wrong. That's just wrong. But if you let your light shine like Christ did, they came to him. He took advantage of every opportunity. Simon the Pharisee of all people invited him to his house, and he went. One time, years ago, I was a guy that was heavily on drugs and all, and I was trying to help him. And he said, I'm going to pick you up one day. And he picked me up. We rode around that city of gossip. What's the name of that city of gossip? I can't. Oh, De Quincey. That's it. He ran around. De Quincey, that's it. We ran around in that city there. And people began to talk. What's Brother Baggett doing with him? I can't believe he's a preacher. I go, when I'm invited, I'm going to let my light shine. This little light of mine, we used to sing it, I'm going to let it shine. Well, how about let's not just sing it, let's do it. And don't worry what people say. You don't let your light shine to other lights. You let it shine to the darkness, that they may someday comprehend why you do what you do. God bless you this morning. Let's take a quick break and come back for morning worship.